And now would you turn to page 829 in your hymnal, and we will read responsively Psalm 105. Praise the Lord. Oh, sorry, I'm on the wrong page. Let's back up and start again. Melba, you said nobody will remember this 50 years from now, right? Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on God's name. Make known God's deeds among the peoples. Glory in God's holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek the Lord's presence continually.
Remember the wonderful works God has done, the miracles and judgments God has uttered. O offspring of Abraham, God's servant, children of Jacob, God's chosen ones. The Lord is our God, whose judgments are in all the earth. The Lord is mindful of his everlasting covenant, of the word commanded for a thousand generations. The covenant made with Abraham, his promise sworn to Isaac and confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance.
As we're moving deeper into Scripture, I want to introduce somebody many of you know. To my left, to your right, is Atonio Tolutau, who was one of the leaders of the Tongan congregation. What you may not know about Neo is that he is following now the formal movement into the ministry, and he has asked that he and I work together. And so you'll see him participating in worship services a little more and helping me out. So, Neo, thank you very much. Today he's going to read Scripture, and I made him promise that he wouldn't preach after he read Scripture. Atonio is often moved by the Holy Spirit, which means that he is very long-winded. I'm kidding. He does like talking, though. Well, after the psalm, let us also look to the Hebrew Bible. Let us look to Genesis chapter 29, verses 15 through 19. You can find it on page 25 of the Hebrew Bible in your pew Bible. Should be right in front of you there. And as you'll recall, the past several weeks, we've been in the book of Genesis, and we have been marching through as God continues to fulfill God's covenant to the chosen people. And in this case, it is the promises made to Jacob. So, Genesis 29, 15 through 28. Then Laban said to Jacob, because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be? Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were lovely, and Rachel was graceful and beautiful. Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to any other man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife that I may go into her, for my time is completed. So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went in to her. Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah to be her maid. When morning came, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me? Laban said, "This is not done in our country, giving the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other one in return for serving me another 7 years." Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave his daughter Rachel as a wife. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading for this morning is taken from the epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8. I will commence reading from verse 26 to the 39th verse. And you can find this on page 148 of your pew Bible. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who judges the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who didn't withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is the word of God to the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Let us turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew 13, verses 31 through 33, and then following 44 through 52. You can find this in your pew Bible in the New Testament on page 14. And if you've been here for the past several weeks, as we are moving through Genesis, we're moving through Matthew, and Jesus continues to share parables with his followers, including us. Jesus put before them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding 1 pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets and threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Those of you who are somewhat familiar with the Bible may have the same reaction that the apostles did when they heard Jesus say those simple and profound words, "The kingdom of heaven is like." When we hear Jesus tell a whole string of these parables, it's easy to feel confused or even frustrated with their meaning and their mystery. The 12 apostles were often mystified. They were followers without a clue. And Jesus was always there to explain a bit more about what these parables mean. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea. The kingdom of heaven is like dot, dot, dot. Before I became an adult and started to pay attention to the Bible, the word kingdom was pretty much reserved for special circumstances. When I was a little guy growing up in the world, I always loved to listen to stories. Especially when we were on summer vacation on Cape Cod in Massachusetts, my dad would always read to us before we went to bed at night. And a lot of the time, my dad's stories had to do with kingdoms and the goings-on in these amazing places beyond time. Every night when my dad picked up the book that he would read to us, my sisters and I would thrill to hear him say these words, "Once upon a time in a kingdom far, far away." I don't even know if these words have the same meaning to kids in the 21st century. But I'm sure that they mean something magical to some of you. Once upon a time in a kingdom far, far away. You know, I guess the closest thing that kids today have to that vision of kingdoms far, far away comes in the form of the Harry Potter books and movies. I don't know how you feel about this phenomenon, but whether you like it or not, it is definitely a part of our modern worldwide culture. The first Harry Potter book, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, was copyrighted by J.K. Rowling in 1997. My son Zachariah was born in 1994. So in our family, Zach grew up with Harry Potter. There are a few of you who are nodding. You know what I mean. And as every new book came out, there are 7 books in the series, 7 books and 8 movies, the last of which came out this summer. Every time a new book would come out, we'd go out and buy it, and then we would read it together out loud as a family, every page of every book. For Zach and for his generation, the Harry Potter books were a great introduction to a lifelong love of books and reading. And I believe that this is a very good thing, that our kids discover the love of books and the excitement of reading. Well, you may already know this if you follow the stories, but the Harry Potter stories have to do with magical occurrences by witches and wizards right under the noses of muggles. Muggles are everybody else. They're you and me, who are not of the wizarding world. The world of Harry and his friends is a world parallel to and sometimes intersecting with the normal daily world where most of us live and work. Once upon a time in a kingdom far, far away, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of God is quite different from the storybook kingdom of my youth and from the world of Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, but there may be some useful comparisons. The kingdom of God did start once upon a time, but it is still very much active and alive today. When God created the heavens and the earth, as we read in the book of Genesis, God had the plan that his absolute love would be made manifest in human beings, and that they in turn would live a life of justice and harmony. As you well know, it didn't exactly turn out that way. Our salvation history is one of testing and temptation, rejecting God and then following God's call more closely. Despite our wanderings, God never gave up on us. In fact, when God became human and came to earth in the form of Jesus of Nazareth, the kingdom of God began in earnest. Jesus lived among us in order to save us and to demonstrate more fully what this kingdom of God is truly all about. And although now we wait for the second coming of Christ at the end of days, when God's kingdom will come to its fullest fruition, we live in the immediacy of that kingdom in this very here and now. As I just mentioned as well, God's kingdom didn't and doesn't occur in a land far, far away. It's happening right here in the power and the intimacy of the Holy Spirit. God came to earth and took on human flesh. That's why it's called the incarnation. Jesus became a human being exactly like you, exactly like me, in every way except for sin. As you read the Bible, you'll remember that Jesus performed miracles while he was carrying out his kingdom ministry. If you take these actions literally, then Jesus dealt in the supernatural world, not entirely unlike the magic that witches and wizards perform in the Harry Potter stories. Harry Potter dealt in magic, while Jesus deals in faith and the limitless power of God, something very different. There is much of mystery in God's grace made manifest in the person of Jesus Christ, he who was fully human and yet fully divine. The reality of God's kingdom is not so much supernatural as it is otherworldly. And frankly, it does take a lifetime of work. Jesus came to a real place at a real time in our human history. Jesus lived a real human life and had a real family and real friends, but his ways were not the ways of the world. God truly wants us to work to understand and to emulate life in God's kingdom. And frankly, it does take a lifetime of work to figure it out and to live it fully and faithfully. There is mystery in the parables of Jesus, but this meaning is grounded and illustrated in everyday occurrences happening to everyday people just like you and me. It's likely that most of us can understand a mustard seed growing into a bush. We know how yeast works. We can visualize a treasure hidden in the soil of a field or a merchant finding a pearl of great value. It's not something we see every day, but we can probably understand fishermen throwing a net into the sea and catching all sorts of fish. We can understand the metaphors surrounding these mysteries. The life that God envisions for each of us and for all of us together is not magic, but it is very different from our basic human nature. It's not about looking out for number one. It's not about money or career or pleasure or retirement. It is about loving God with your whole heart, your whole mind, and your whole being. It is about thinking of others before you think of yourself. It's about compassion and love being the basis of everything you say, everything you think, everything you do. It's about making real the vision that God has for all of creation, justice and harmony and peace, God's shalom. It's about your actions that reflect your complete lifelong commitment to Jesus Christ. Once upon a time in a kingdom far, far away, for the children of the kingdom of God, it's not a story of magic. It's real, and it's here, and it's now. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Amen.